It is with this in mind that Paul says, "The time is short. It remaineth that they who have wives be as if they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoiced as if they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as if they used it not, for the fashion of this world passeth away. He has a wife as though he had none, who renders the debt of the body, yet so that he is not through this compelled to attach himself to the world with all his heart. For since the same illustrious preacher says, 'But he that is with a wife is solicitous for the things of the world, how he may please his wife,' that man is one who has a wife as though not having one, whoso is at pains to please his wife, yet that he does not displease his Maker. And likewise, he weeps as though he wept not, whoso grieves over his temporal losses, that his soul will still draw comfort from the thought of his eternal gains. He rejoices as if he rejoiced not, who is happy in his temporal possessions, while still mindful of the torments that do not end. And when his mind is uplifted through joy, he will restrain it with the counterweight of prudent fear. He buys as though he possessed not, who provides what is needed, and yet with wise reflection is aware that soon these too will be left behind. And he uses this world as if he used it not, who gathers what is needed for his daily needs in this world, yet not permitting that such things shall rule his life, that as subject to him they serve him outwardly, never hindering the end of his soul, in its striving toward the things that are above. Whoever therefore are of such mind, they do indeed possess all earthly things, not for their desires, but for their daily use. For they use what is needed, and desire not to possess anything through sin. They also gain a reward daily from the things they possess, but they rejoice more in good work than in good property. And so that such things may not appear difficult to any of you, I shall relate something to you concerning a person whom many of you will have known, and which I myself learned of about 3 years ago from trustworthy persons of the city of Centumcelle. Not so long ago there was a certain count named Theophanus in this same city, a man greatly given to works of mercy, active in every good work, and particularly zealous in hospitality. While occupied with the affairs of his command, he had much to do with worldly and temporal things, more, as we shall see presently, out of duty than ambition. For as the hour of his death arrived, a most dreadful storm arose, so that it would not be possible to bring him to the cemetery. And his wife, in great distress, said to him, "What shall I do? How shall I bring you to the cemetery when I cannot set foot outside the house because of this storm?" He then said to her, "Do not grieve, for as soon as I die, the storm will cease." And after he had spoken, he there and then died, and there came a great calm. His poor hands and feet were swollen with the gout, and had broken out in sores. But when, as is customary, they uncovered the body to wash it, they found the hands and feet without any trace whatever of sores. He was then brought to the cemetery and buried. And there his wife decided that on the fourth day following his burial, the marble placed over his tomb would have to be changed. When the marble placed over his body had been lifted off, such a fragrance arose from the body as those sweet odors instead of worms had multiplied from the decaying flesh. I tell you this to show you, by a recent example, that there are many who wear a worldly dress, but beneath it have not a worldly soul. For they whom necessity binds to the world, so that they can in no way escape from it, should so possess the things of this world as not at any time to surrender to them out of weariness of spirit. Reflect therefore on these things, and though you may be unable to leave all things which are of this world, use outward things justly, but inwardly hasten eagerly towards the things that are eternal. Let there be nothing which holds back the desires of your soul. Let not the love of any single thing entangle you in this world. If you love good, let your mind delight in the better things, that is, in heavenly things. If you fear evil, put before your mind that eternal evils, so that beholding there that which you most love and most fear, you will cling to nothing in this life. And to enable us to do this, we have as our helper the mediator of God and man, through whom we shall the more speedily obtain all things, if we burn with the true love of Him who liveth and reigneth with the Father and the Holy Ghost, God forever and ever. Amen. The third Sunday after Pentecost, the Gospel of the Sunday according to Luke. At that time the publicans and sinners drew near unto Jesus to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, and eateth with them. And He spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after that which was lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, call together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you, that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just that need not penance. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver piece which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. The words of the Gospel. Exposition from the Catena Aurea. The publicans and sinners drew near unto Jesus to hear Him. From what was said in the preceding verses, you learned that you must not be held fast by earthly things, that you are not to place fleeting things before those that last forever. But since human frailty cannot maintain a firm footing in this so uncertain world, the good physician shows you a remedy even against error. The merciful judge does not deny us the hope of pardon, so we have, they drew near to hear Jesus. Publicans, that is, they who exacted or farmed the public taxes and who make a business of worldly gain. It was for this He had taken flesh, to receive sinners, as a physician receives the sick. But the real sinners, the Pharisees, repaid His kindness by murmuring against Him. Hence, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against Him. From which we may gather that true justice feels compassion, the false only scorn, though the just are also wont to feel angry with sinners, and rightly so. But what is done through zeal for the divine law is one thing, what is done through the swelling of pride another. For the just outwardly heap up reproaches against sinners, but out of devotion to the divine law, while inwardly they retain the bond of charity. In their own minds they place those they correct above themselves. They correct those subject to them because of discipline, but through humility they keep a watch on themselves. They, however, who pride themselves on a righteousness that is hollow, despise everyone else, and are without any compassion for the weak. And the more they believe they are not sinners, the worse sinners they become. The Pharisees were undoubtedly of these, murmuring against the Lord because He received sinners, and from their own dried-up hearts rebuking the font of compassion. But because they were sick, and so sick that they did not know they were sick, the heavenly physician treats them as with soothing foments, saying to them, and He spoke to them this parable, saying, He gave them a similitude, which a man could understand from within himself, but which, however, referred to the Author of all men. For as the 100 is a perfect number, He Himself possessed 100 sheep, since He possessed the natures of both angels and men. What man of you hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one? From this we learn the extent of our Savior's kingdom. For he says that there are 100 sheep, bringing to a perfect number the sum of the rational creatures subject to him. For the 100 is a perfect number, being made of 10 decades. But one from this number went astray, namely the race of men who inhabited the earth. A rich shepherd, of whom all we are but the 100th part of what is his. One was lost when man through sin forsook the pastures of true life, but 99 remained in the desert, for the number of the rational creatures, that is, of angels and of men, who were created to know God, was lessened by the fall of man. Hence there follows, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert? For the angelic choirs remained in heaven. For then did man abandon heaven when he sinned, and so that the perfect sum of the sheep might once more be made full in heaven, fallen man was sought for on earth. Hence follows, and go after that which was lost till he find it. Was he then displeased with the rest, but moved with compassion towards but one? Far from it, for they are safe. The right hand of the Most High encompasses them. But he needs must have compassion on the one perishing, that the remaining number might not be imperfect or incomplete. For this one brought back to safety, the 100, will once more have its due perfection. He spoke of the 99 whom he left in the desert as signifying the proud, having solitude, as it were, in their souls, in that they wish to be regarded as singular. To these unity he's lacking for perfection. For when anyone withdraws from unity, he withdraws through pride, desiring to be his own master. He does not follow that master who is God. With him, God numbers all who are reconciled through repentance, which in turn is gained through humility. But when the shepherd found the sheep, he did not punish it. He did not bring it back to the flock by driving it before him, but placing it on his own shoulders and bearing it with gentleness, he restored it to the flock. Hence, and when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. He laid the sheep upon his shoulders in that taking upon him our nature, he bore the burthen of our sins. Finding the sheep, he returns home. For our shepherd, man now redeemed, has returned to his heavenly kingdom. Hence follows, and coming home, call together his friends and neighbors. He calls the choirs of heaven his friends and neighbors, and they are his friends, because in their steadfastness they unceasingly uphold his will. They are his neighbors also, since being forever in his presence, he gives them the perfect enjoyment of the vision of his glory. The heavenly powers are spoken of as sheep, in that every created nature, in comparison with God himself, is as the beasts. In that they are rational, they are called his friends and neighbors. And we must note that he did not say, rejoice with the sheep that has been found, but rejoice with me, for our life is in truth his joy. And when we are restored to heaven, we shall complete the feast of his rejoicing. Now the angels, since they are rational, do fittingly rejoice in the redemption of man. So there follows, I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven. Let this incite us to a just and upright life, that each man believes that his own conversion to God is pleasing to the angelic choirs, whose protection he should seek, and whose good will he should fear to lose. The Lord confesses that there is more rejoicing in heaven over converted sinners than over those who remain faithful. For these oftentimes, knowing themselves free of the burden of grave sin, stand indeed in the way of divine justice, yet they do not long for and sigh for the heavenly kingdom, and not infrequently they are reluctant to give themselves to the practice of the higher virtues, content in the knowledge that they do not commit any of the more grievous sins. On the other hand, it will often happen that those who are mindful of having committed certain grave sins, being moved to sorrow by this remembrance, the love of God is then kindled in their heart. And because they recognize that they had strayed from God, they make good the losses that went before with the gains that now follow. Greater, therefore, is the rejoicing in heaven. A leader in battle will have a warmer regard for the soldier who had first yielded and run away, and then had fought bravely back, than over the soldier who had never yielded, yet had never thrust bravely forward. So does the farmer love more the fields that now cleaned of weeds bear a fruitful crop than the land which had never grown thorns, yet neither had it ever yielded a bountiful crop. But with this we should also know that there are many just in whose life there is joy so great that the repentance of no sinner whatever can awaken a greater joy. From this we may gather how pleasing to God is the humbled and afflicted heart of the just, if there is such rejoicing in heaven when the unjust, through repentance, rejects the evil that he has done. Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one? By the preceding parable, in which the human race is spoken of as a wandering sheep, we are taught that we are creatures of the Most High God, who made us, and not we ourselves, and we are the sheep of his pasture. Here another parable is added, in which the human race is compared to a piece of silver that was lost. By this he makes known to us that we have been made in the image and likeness of God. For the piece of silver, or drachma, is a coin upon which the royal image is stamped. Hence we have, or what woman? He who is signified by the shepherd is also signified by the woman. For it is God himself, himself together with the wisdom of God. The Lord created the nature of both angels and men, to the end that they might know him, and he created it in his own likeness. The woman then had 10 pieces of silver, for 9 are the orders of the angels. But to make perfect the number of the elect, man, the 10th, was created. Or by the 9 pieces of silver is also by the 99 sheep. He means those who, trusting in themselves, place themselves above sinners who are turning to salvation. For one thing is wanting to the 9 to make it 10, and to the 99, that they may be 100. To that one he assigns all who are reconciled through penance. And since there is an image stamped upon the silver piece, the woman lost the piece of silver, when man, who had been made to the image of God, lost by sin the likeness of his Maker. And this is what is added: if she lose one, doth not light a lamp? The woman lit a lamp, for the wisdom of God appeared in human form. A lamp is a light in an earthen vessel. The divinity in human flesh is truly a light in an earthen vessel. And the lamp being lit, there follows, and turns the house upside down. For as soon as his divinity shines forth in our flesh, the conscience of every man is shaken up. And the word, turned upside down, is not different in meaning from the word we read in other versions, namely, cleaned, for an evil soul is not made clean from its habits of sin, unless it is first turned upside down through fear. The house turned upside down, the piece of silver is found. For there follows, and seek diligently until she find it. For when the conscience of man is greatly disturbed, the likeness of his Maker is recovered within him. The silver piece found, the heavenly powers whom he had employed as ministers in the plan of man's redemption are now made sharers of his joy. And so follows, and when she hath found it, call together her friends. For the heavenly powers, the closer they approach him through the grace of his unceasing vision, the closer they are to his divine wisdom. Either they are his friends, as upholding his will, and his neighbors as spiritual beings, or they are his friends, since such are all the heavenly powers, and his neighbors as being nearest him, such as are the thrones, cherubim, and seraphim. Or again, this, I think, is what the Lord is proposing to us in the searching for the lost piece of silver, that we gain nothing through the possession of the other virtues which he calls pieces of silver, For though all the others are present to it, the soul is widowed if that one alone is wanting through which the splendor of the divine likeness is acquired. So he bids us light a lamp, that is, his divine word, which makes manifest things hidden, or even the torch of repentance. But it is in his own house, that is, within himself and within his own conscience, that he must seek for the lost piece of silver, that is, for the royal image, which, however, is not wholly lost, but hidden in the dust, meaning the infections that derive from the flesh. These wiped carefully away, that is, removed by the vigilance of our life, that which we are searching for will shine out. And let him who finds it rejoice and call together his neighbors to share his joy, that is, the companion powers of the soul, namely that of reason, that of desiring, and that innate disposition towards anger, and whatever other powers are observed about the soul, which it teaches to rejoice in the Lord. Then, concluding the parable, he adds, "So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God." For to repent means both to lament the sins we have committed and not to commit again what we lament. For he who grieves over some sins, while he continues to commit others, either does not yet know how to repent, or but pretends to repent. He must especially have this in mind, that he is to make satisfaction to his Creator, that he who has done forbidden things should now forbid himself in what is lawful to him, and he who knows he has sinned in great things, let him restrain himself now from the least offenses. St. Ambrose, Bishop and Doctor, on Exposition of the Gospel. In the teaching of our Lord, which preceding this Gospel reading you learned, that we are to put away all carelessness, to avoid conceit, to begin to be earnest in religion, not to be held fast to the things of this world, not to place fleeting things before those that endure forever. But though human frailty finds it hard to maintain a firm foothold in this so uncertain world, the merciful Judge does not withhold the hope of his forgiveness, and has, as a good physician, made known to you the remedies even against going astray. And so it was not without design that the holy Luke places in order before us three parables, that of the sheep that strayed and was found, that of the silver piece that was lost and also was found, that of the son who was dead through sin and who returned to life, so that sustained by this threefold cure, we may seek to cure our own wounds, for a triple rope does not break. Who are these three persons, the shepherd, the woman, the father? Is not Christ the shepherd, the church, the woman, and God the Father? Christ, who took upon himself your sins, bears you upon his own body. The church searches for you. The Father receives you back. As a shepherd, he brings us back. As a mother, he looks for us. As a father, he clothes us. First, mercy. Second, intercession. Third, reconciliation. Each to each. The Redeemer comes to our aid. The Church intercedes for us. The Creator restores us to himself. It is the same divine mercy in each operation, but grace varies according to our merits. The sheep that strayed is brought back by the shepherd. The silver piece that was lost is found. The son turns back fully repentant from his sinful wanderings and retraces his footsteps to his father. Because of this was it fittingly said, "Men and beasts thou wilt preserve, O Lord." Who are those beasts? The prophet tells us, "I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of men and with the seed of beasts." And so Israel is saved as a man, Judah is gathered in as though it were a sheep. I would prefer to be a son than a sheep, for a sheep is brought back by a shepherd, the son is honored by the father. Let us therefore rejoice, because that sheep which had fallen by the way in Adam is uplifted in Christ. The shoulders of Christ are the arms of his cross. There have I laid down my sins. Upon the neck of that sublime yoke of torment have I found rest. This sheep is one in kind, but not one in outward appearance. For we are all one body, but many members. And so it was written, Now you are the body of Christ, and members of member. So therefore the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, that is, all men. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Rich, then, is that shepherd of whose portion all we are but a hundredth part. For he has, besides the innumerable flocks of the archangels, of the dominations, of the powers, of the thrones, and all the rest whom he left upon the mountains. And since they are rational flocks, they not unfittingly rejoice because of the redemption of men. Let this also incite us to a just and upright life, that each one shall believe that his own conversion to God is pleasing to the angelic choirs, whose protection he should seek, and whose good will he should fear to lose. Be ye therefore a joy to the angels, let them have cause for rejoicing in your own return. Neither is it without significance that the woman rejoices because of the silver piece that was found. For this is no ordinary piece of silver, upon which is the figure of the prince. And because of this, the image of the king is the wealth of the church. We are his sheep. Let us pray that he will place us amid the waters of his refreshment. We are, I say, his sheep. Let us seek of him a place of pasture. We are pieces of silver. Let us jealously cherish our value. We are children, let us hasten to our Father, who with the Son and Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth world without end. Amen. Saint Cyril of Alexandria, Bishop and Doctor, on the Gospel. God sent not his Son into the world to judge the world, as the Son tells us, but that the world might be saved by him. But how could the world be saved, caught as it was in the net of sin? By exacting punishment of it, or rather by showing it kindness, so that God, being merciful and forbearing, man's past sins were forgiven, and those who had not been living worthily began a purer way of life. Why then, tell me, O Pharisee, do you murmur because Christ does not disdain to consort with publicans and sinners, prudently preparing the way for their conversion? It was for this he emptied himself and became like to us. Do you then presume to question the wisdom of the only begotten? The blessed prophets praise the wisdom of the divine secret. The prophet David sings of it, Sing ye wisely, God shall reign over the nations. Habakkuk says, He has heard God's hearing, behold his works, and was afraid. How do you presume to question his works, which you ought rather to praise? The race of man wandered upon the face of the earth. It had slipped away from the hand of the Supreme Shepherd. Because of this, he came to us, who feeds his heavenly flocks above, that he might lead us also into his fold, that he might unite us to those who had not wandered, that he might drive away the wild beast that works evil, and frustrate the unholy robber band of the unclean spirits of evil. He came, therefore, seeking the one that was lost, and he showed how foolish and vain were the murmurings of the Jews against him. And now reflect together with me, beloved, upon the extent of the kingdom of our Savior, and upon the wondrous wisdom of his divine purposes. For, he says, the number of the sheep is 100, here referring to the full and perfect number of the rational being subject to him. The number 100 is ever the perfect number, made up of 10 decades. From the inspired scripture we learn that 1,000 thousands minister to him, and 10,000 times 100,000 surround his throne. 100, therefore, is the number of his sheep, of whom one wandered from the flock, namely the race of men, and for which the supreme pastor of all goes searching, leaving the rest, that is, the remaining 99, in the desert, that is, in a remote and lofty place that is full of peace? Was he then neglecting the greater number and concerned only for this one? He was far from neglecting them. How is this? Because they remain in total security, sheltered within the right hand of the Almighty. But it was becoming that he should have compassion on the one that was lost, in order that nothing might appear wanting to the remaining multitude. For when this one was brought back, he had then once more 100, the perfect number. Let us explain this by another example, that we may the better explain the incomparable tenderness of Christ, the Savior of all mankind. Let us suppose that in the one house there are many persons, and that one of them falls sick. For whom will the physician be called? Will it not be for the one who is ill? And because the need and the circumstances call for it, the physician, without implying any neglect of the rest by this, will bestow all the assistance of his skill on the one who alone is sick. He, therefore, the God who rules over all things, must stretch out a saving hand to the wandering sheep, whom the Supreme Shepherd has now in fact redeemed. For he looked for it as it wandered afar, and he has placed it in a secure sheepfold, safe against thieves and wild beasts, namely his church. And praising him, let us, because of this, say with the prophet, Zion, the city of our strength, a savior, a wall, and a bulwark shall be set therein. The parable which follows has the same meaning, that of the woman who had 10 pieces of silver, and who, we are told, lost one, and who thereupon lit a lamp, greatly rejoicing when she finds the piece of silver. And this joy he compares to the supreme joy of heaven. From the previous parable, in which the wandering sheep was a figure of the earthly race of men, we learn that we are a creature of the Most High God who has created the things that before were not. He made us, and not we ourselves, as it is written. And he is the Lord our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. But in the second parable, in which the thing lost is compared to a piece of silver, of which there were 10, that is, a perfect number, or one which makes a complete total, for 10 is a complete enumeration, counting from 1 upwards, we are shown clearly that we have been created in conformity with a royal image and likeness, that namely of the Most High God. For the drachma, the piece of silver, is a coin upon which is stamped a royal image. Who is there doubts that we had fallen and were lost, and that we have been found by Christ, and through his grace and a just way of life have been again made like unto him? Of this the blessed Paul writes, But we, all beholding the glory of the Lord with open face, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. In his epistle to the Galatians, he also writes, My little children, of whom I am in labor again, until Christ be formed in you. The woman lighting a lamp, a search was made for the thing that was lost. For we were found by the wisdom of God the Father, which is his Son, kindling again in us the light of the divine and rational day star, when the Son of Justice rose and the day dawned, as it is written. And elsewhere God, through one of the holy prophets, says of Christ the Savior, All men, speedily my justice draws near, and soon my mercy shall be made known, and my salvation as a lamp shall be lit. Of himself he says, I am the light of the world. And again, I am come a light into the world. He that followeth me walketh not in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Therefore was it in the light that that which was lost was saved, and this has filled the heavenly powers with joy. For they rejoice even over one sinner doing penance, as he teaches us who knows all things. And if these heavenly beings, ever seeking the fulfilling of the divine will, and given to the unending praise of the most tender divine compassion, rejoice over one sinner saved, What are we to say of their joy at the salvation of the whole world, called to the knowledge of truth, through faith in Christ, to whom with the Father and the Holy Ghost be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. St. Peter Chrysologus, Bishop and Doctor, on the Parable of the Lost Drachma. They know, and they alone know, who receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, that throughout all the Gospel readings the secrets of the divine mind awaits us, and mystical meanings lie hidden there. For see how the heavenly shepherd, after he has sought for the sheep that was lost from his flock of 100, and finds it, and brings it back to the sheepfold, to the joy of the whole heavenly host of angels, brings before us the figure of the woman in the Gospel, who, lighting a lamp, so searches for the one of her 10 pieces of silver which she had lost, that finding it, to her gain and to her joy, she gives joy to the heavenly host. For it says, "Or what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a lamp, and sweep diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, call together her friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the silver piece which I have lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance." Do you think that this is an ordinary woman, or one that is believed to have had 10 pieces of silver in the ordinary sense, or that she is believed to have lost it by some earthly mischance, or that it simply happened without design that she looked for it in the night, or that she lit a lamp after our fashion, or that she lost it and found it within an ordinary house, or that she called together to rejoice with her neighbors and friends in the familiar sense of the words, and whom we do not read she called together to grieve with her when she lost it? He makes clear to us that this is a special kind of loss, that the silver piece was not stolen, but that it had disappeared. And he tells us that it is not artfully concealed by some deceit from without, but lying in some obscure place within the house. See how unusual the whole account is, how it goes beyond, how it far exceeds the human order of things, how it breathes and smells of divine meanings, how it lifts the minds toward heaven, how it begins to enlighten us about heavenly things, how it compels us to light the lantern of a heart seeking upwards, and like the woman of the Gospel, search for this silver piece of saving knowledge amid the obscure places of the Lord's words. Before Christ had come for the wandering sheep, and after seeking here and there had raised it worn out upon the shoulders of his mercy, and laden with the gentle sheep had arrived at the sheepfold that was inaccessible to the wolves, the woman, who had 10 pieces of silver, had long waited in darkness, and not alone did she grieve for the silver piece she had lost, she was unable to see the other 9 that remained to her. For her it was a long night, and a darkness profound and enduring, and without the divine fire her lamp gave no light to relieve the night. But after the heavenly fire, the fire of the Holy Ghost, had poured down in a heavenly rain upon the apostles, and warmed with its fire the no less cold as well as dark hearts of mortal men, the woman, that is the church, lit her lamp, that is the power of vision of her soul, the enlightened eyes of your heart. She therefore lit her lamp, and through the subsequent labor of the apostles, turned upside down that Judaic house that was blind with the darkness of ignorance, until she finds in Christ the silver piece that was lost from the 10, that is, from the Decalogue of the Law. Christ is the coin of the divinity in full. Christ is the drachma of our redemption and of our purchase. Christ it is who was both in the law of the Decalogue and concealed by it. Christ it is whom the synagogue both possessed and yet did not see, because of the darkness that warred against her. We have called the 10 words of the law 10 pieces of silver, of which the synagogue lost one. Which one? That one which John first found in the church, because he was a burning light, as the Lord says. He was a burning light, as the evangelist tells us, saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That he was in the Decalogue is already plain to us. Hear it, says, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. This word, the synagogue, since it did not see it in Christ, loses in the Father. And since it did not believe in Christ, it put Christ to death upon the cross. To whom in consequence is it rightly said through the Decalogue, Thou shalt not kill. For the Jew, when he cut off the head of the whole series of the Decalogue, was the slayer of Christ before being the slayer of the law, whence is it that he threw back upon Christ the whole body of the Decalogue? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. The synagogue was condemned, which joined adulterously to the gods of the Gentiles, rejected Christ, who, putting down the power of her oppressor, came down to her with the affection of a spouse. Thou shalt not steal. She stole the Lord's resurrection, who gave money to the soldiers that they might bury and conceal the truth of the resurrection. Thou shalt not bear false witness, for she it was who found many witnesses, that the words might be fulfilled. Unjust witnesses rising up have asked me things I knew not. And indeed, in no other way could they deliver up the author of truth, because falsehood is ever the enemy of the truth. So he runs on to disaster, so he falls step by step, whosoever falls from the head of the steps of the commandments, and tumbles down. For had they believed in the one Lord God, they would have never come down to this abyss of disaster. But we now follow after the lamp of Mother Church, and walking in the light of the Lord's countenance, we shall come upon the silver piece of Christ. And we shall call together our friends and neighbors, that is, the church of the Gentiles, lest they may not know that our mother has found her silver piece. And let us say with the prophet, I have prepared a lamp for my anointed. And what help it will be to us, let us hear. Behold, we have heard of it in Ephratah. We have found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacle. We will adore in the place where his feet stood. Behold what we have been seeking through far wide fields and through scattered woods. This let us find in the Lord. This let us find by the lamp of our mother. For this heaven too rejoices, because in one sinner doing penance the multitude of all the Christian people becomes glorious, and the whole character of Christ's divinity shines forth in our silver piece. Saint Gregory the Great, Pope and Doctor, given to the people in the Basilica of the Blessed John and Paul on the third Sunday after Pentecost, on the angelic choirs. The summer, which is very hard on me, has not for a long time permitted me to speak to you on the gospel. But because our tongue may be silent, does charity cease to warm our heart towards you? May I say something to you with which each of you will of himself readily understand? It will happen often that charity, distracted by other cares, will still glow within the heart, though it is not revealed by any outward work, just as the sun veiled in clouds may not be seen upon the earth, yet it still continues to burn in the heavens. And this is how charity is when its attention is directed elsewhere, so that though inwardly it gives forth the power of its ardor, without it gives no sign of the flame of its activity. But now that a suitable time has come for me to speak to you, let you increase your attention to what I have to say, so that the more eagerly your minds desire it, the more I shall be disposed to speak to you. Please go to side B.